Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, I've been abiding Mark, and I've just been really just thinking about just the process of what Jesus went through. And it's amazing, too. It's just like a lot of times in your abiding time, it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will kind of show you things. It's like you're kind of like reading in between the lines. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily think about the black and white, but you're thinking about the whole, imagining that situation, imagining the reality. Because a lot of times we forget, like, this actually happened. Like, the people that you read about, they really existed. And to think about that, and it's just like, oh my goodness. And when I think about it in Mark 1, you know, when Jesus came, the Bible talks about how he met who he decided who was his disciples. We talk about the 12 and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and those that Jesus poured his life into. But a lot of times we forget, or we just lose sight of those first encounters. Like when they first heard about Jesus, they first saw Jesus. And in Mark 1 it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When Jesus had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And I just really had to think about that. And it's like, can you imagine how long these guys have been fishing? They left their nets. You know, was it their business? Were they helping a friend? Imagine it's just like you think about whatever job that you're doing, whether you're in an office, you're in a grocery store, you're in a fast food place or wherever, and a man walks past you and just says, follow me. And you literally drop everything and start following him. And what the Holy Spirit was really just revealing, and it's like you can think about it, imagine what they had to be thinking about. That they're, quote-unquote, in their nets, quote-unquote, in their businesses, in their daily lives, whatever they're doing, and just thinking about, and there's got to be something more. How did I get here? What's really, I mean, I like fishing. Fishing's great. I mean, I'm here with my dad, Zebedee. We're just chilling out. The sun's coming up. But is there something more? Because you think about it, and it really began to think about the religious people. And what is so powerful is that Jesus didn't find his, quote-unquote, 12 disciples in the temple. He didn't go, and he's just like, hey, third row back. Hey, no, other guy. No, come here. He was outside walking amongst the people who understood that there's a process, who understood that there's, I got to be faithful with the small things. You think about David. David was tending a few sheep. And God called him. And even after God called him, he's like, well, all right, I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before. God found me now. He'll find me again. And that's so different to how the religious people, the religious leaders of the day, responded to Jesus. That Jesus would say a scripture, or he would say a specific word, and they'd be like, okay, well, teacher, let me see what you think about. And it's just like, no, they didn't do that. And I think that's so powerful because a lot of times God will say a message to us, or like what you're saying in a previous segment, that you'll be at the counter and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, I want you to speak to that lady. Is there that immediate like, hey, we just followed him. We just did what he said. Mm-hmm. Or are we just like, well, if you look back to the previous scripture, and it's like, no, that's not how they did it.
They encountered him.
But what I think is so powerful was that they responded to his voice. And they knew, and Jesus knew that there was a difference. Jesus came, when you read the word, it talked about in Hebrews that he brought a new covenant. Not the old covenant. And he talks about the fact, he's like, no, I did not come to bring the law. He says, I came to fulfill the law. And when you read in Mark 2, he says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. He says that no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours the new wine into new wineskins. And you think about that, and Jesus is the wine. Jesus is the new covenant. And he's like, I'm not going to try and teach an old dog new tricks, you know, for lack of better words. Because he knew that the religious people were so set in their ways, he says, you know what? We're just going to start fresh. Mm-hmm. And it was simple fishermen. And even the religious people responded to the disciples and like, these men have been with Jesus. They're just simple men. And that's the power of faith. That's the power of just simply believing what Jesus says. And I love the fact in other parts of the word, it says that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see. And the thing about it, though, is that the religious people did hear Jesus because they, I mean, the Bible talks about a conversation that they had back and forth many times. But did they really hear him?
Yeah.
And Jesus says that you would be ever seeing but never seeing, ever hearing but you're not really hearing. Mm. And that's the thing, is that when the disciples heard a man walking past a boat and simply called out their names, they literally dropped everything because they heard the call. That there's a call on their lives. And that's so powerful because each one of us, and like when I think about our own stories and I think about, you know, you can go on meetmyfather.org and read the stories, because it's like you have to come to that moment when you're in your quote unquote in your net, and you got to get to that point and be like, man, there's, hey, I like doing this, but maybe I don't. But is there something more? Mm. And that's the beautiful thing, because there's a call on your life. God created you for a portion to bring about the kingdom that it's just like nobody else can do in the kingdom. Or I don't want to say it like that, but God has a certain portion for you. Mm-hmm. He's got a certain plan for you. When you read about in Jeremiah, he says, many are the plans I have for you. He says, if you search me with all of your heart, then you'll find me. Mm. And that's that beauty of it, because Jesus is calling you right now. He knows your name. He's marked you. And I think that's so beautiful because, you know, in Acts it talks about the fact that God set the times and the places for us to see if we would reach out to him. And that, you know, God's walking past your neighborhood. God's walking through, you know, your business and through the grocery store. And he's calling your name right now. It's like that whisper is he wants you to follow him just like the disciples follow Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea is that God truly, truly loves you.
Yeah.
He has a plan for your life, and he wants to call you by name. He wants to pull you out of that situation and bring you over on the other side. And, you know, how many times has that happened? I mean, we've seen it time and time again. I was minding my business. There I was in my wallow, in my whatever, in my junk. And then God tapped my shoulder.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think people are expecting to hear this audible voice. They're expecting to see, you know, a chariot come from heaven or some sort of, you know, huge demonstrative sign that God says, here I am. And oftentimes, no, it's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
You know, oftentimes God has a really subtle ways of getting our attention. And what happens is that once that opportunity just opens up for us, we'll look back and realize, oh my, what about that day and this moment? And then before you know it, it's like kind of you start connecting the dots. And once you start connecting the number of dots, you see there was a big picture. There was a big plan all along. Mm-hmm. And I think that God brings us progressively into the revelation of who he is. I think that too much too soon sometimes blows us out, and that God loves us enough to patiently bring us along the path where he will take one turn, and then he reveals himself. He opens our eyes and we go, wow. Mm-hmm. And the temptation on our part is not to walk in the same patience that the Lord walks in. Because when we're trying to witness to someone, maybe a family member or a friend, we're like, what part don't you get? You know, God loves you. Or, you know, so you want them to get it pretty fast or something. You're like, hey, man, God loves you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's your problem?
What's your problem, dude? Come on. And but God loves them.
Yeah, that's a huge reality. I'm just like, I've got something in my office that always reminds me that if you remember the toy that you give an infant, where it's basically that plastic, and you got a big circle, a little circle, and then even a little circle.
Right.
And it goes in order. And when I found it, the top one was missing.
You still have the thing?
I still have it. But I'm going somewhere with this. But the thing about it is you can't skip that. And it's so powerful. What you're saying is that God is so patient, and that he reveals himself to us ever so gently and just says, hey, I love you. And he's like, hey. And it's like he woos us and draws us to himself. And we forget that so many parts of our journey. And we're like, Jesus died for you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. And it's like we want to, you know, in our culture, everything's so fast. And it's like God wants that relationship to be built on sturdy foundation for us to know in surety that, hey, this is solid. Now we can go forward. Now we can go forward. Mm-hmm. But if we try to rush it, it's like, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I keep that.
Yeah, you can't skip process.
Exactly. That's what that ring represents, is that first ring. You can't get to the fourth ring unless you properly apply the first one. And it's just like, how quick are we to do that? And it's just like, we got to remind ourselves that God's patient and he's willing to go through that.
Yeah, I mean, we got to remember too that, you know, the Bible says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. Mm. And I think that living here in the West, when I mean the West of the world, America, I think that many people believe that they have plenty of time that they can, you know, swing in on Jesus and drop in on him at any time, and that they're in charge of getting right with God. But you're really not. I mean, you're at the mercy of God. You've got to turn your heart to him. And a lot of times, circumstances, things that happen in our lives are a result, you know, tough circumstances, trials. You realize, you know, one train wreck after the other, you realize, you know, maybe there's something to this, you know. Mm-hmm. The job loss, the failed relationship, the no friends, the, you know, continually battling with maybe fits of rage or personality, things that bring division, you know, bouts of depression. I mean, you start realizing, wait a minute, if I start connecting the dots, you know, is this the fruit of a lifestyle that's totally turned their back on God? And, you know, things can never go right with you. They can never turn great. They can never be hopeful if we don't ever turn our hearts to God. You know, we need to turn like the disciples did. And Jesus spoke to them. They encountered him. Mm-hmm. And you may be wondering, like, well, how does that sound? Or, like, how's that going to come about? Listen, the most easiest thing that you could ever do is be absolutely open and say, God, if you're not walking with him, you say, God, I don't know you like I need to know you, but I invite you, have your way in my life, whatever you want to do. And then just pay attention. And just watch what God will do, and just give your life to him. I mean, telling you, he'll lead you right. He'll lead you straight to him. Mm-hmm. But you just got to be open. And I've seen it happen so many times. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work at it. Believe me, God wants you to be with him. All you have to do is just submit to him and be open to his leading.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.